Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, you're locked in with the Scuttlebucks, Jeff Cameron, and Tom Lang. Tampa Bay Buccaneer Talk starts now. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron.
All right, great to be with you again. Scuttlebucks time, my friends. As the voice guy said, I'm Jeff. Tom's over there across from me. On the other side of the glass, as FM DJs like to say. Here's a little AC/DC for you.
That is literally true, though.
I'm on the other side of the soundproof glass. That's
double pane glass.
Big ass amount of glass there. Lots of glass. All right, the Bucks were terrible on Sunday, and that was as embarrassing a performance as a team can have as a professional outfit. I know what the final score says. You know what the game looked like and how it was played. It was over. It was over in the first quarter. It was over after three drives. And, you know, now I'm not saying you can't fight like the Bucks did fight. It's nice to show some professional pride, some personal pride. It's good that they fought back and managed to make it less embarrassing, at least for those that only saw the score of the game. But if you watched, it didn't undo the listless nature with which the Buccaneers defense chose to take the field and not tackle and not cover and not execute. And if you're Mike Smith, you have to be absolutely mortified by the unwillingness to stick your head in there and make a tackle. I think he noted in his press conference at some point this week, I overheard him, and he's right, this was my main complaint, the run fits were embarrassing. And, you know, the effort, frankly, for much of the early stages of this game were embarrassing. And I think, moreover, Dirk Cutter's got a problem. This doesn't feel like a team that is inspired by him. You guys know I look at him a little suspect anyhow. I'm not going to continue to beat that drum. We'll just see how it plays out. It'll be self-explanatory over time here. But it's 2-3, this team, and their defense is as bad as it gets. Pass defense is, I think, the worst in the league, second worst in the league, something like that. And that's going to be true anytime Vernon Hargraves is lined up as a corner starting for this team, 25 yards off the ball, scared to make a play. They got problems. I don't feel good about this week's game against Buffalo.
You're nowhere close to good enough to not give full effort, and that's the problem here. You know, I'm watching this game, and I'm talking to my friend, and I say as it's going on, you know, I've forgotten how mad I can get at my professional team. You know, the Bucs have been so bad for so long.
Right.
And even last year, they go 9-7. The expectations aren't playoffs. So, you know, there are moments where you get angry, but you're okay. At the end of the game, you say, well, it's a growing process. We're upwardly mobile here. This is okay. Playoffs are the expectation this year. They have been. They continue to be. I'm not packing it in just yet. But if you're going to give that crappy effort, are you kidding me? I mean, those 85-yard drives, 90-yard drives, what the, you know, what's going on here? And it's been a long time since I've been that mad. It's usually 2-14. It's beaten out of you by even October.
I was mortified. It was absolutely confounding. Tom, we do a pretty good job, I'll brag on us, of reading this football team and taking the pulse of this football team.
Yeah.
We do a pretty good job. Without being in the locker room and actually being a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization, I think we do a pretty good job of kind of getting a read on where we're headed, good, bad, or somewhere in the middle, and what's possible and what's not possible. This was the first time that the Bucs went out and played a game in recent memory that I was absolutely shocked by what I was seeing. Normally, you can sense collapse is coming, or they're beat up and we're giving up a lot of yards, or the offensive line struggling. We have no run game. Well, predictably, teams are obviously aware that we have to throw it. There are reasons, and you can point them out before it happens, and you can say, well, this is going to be a problem. There was no reason to believe that this team, with extra rest, now at 2-2, would go out to Arizona and not care to play a football game. Like that, I cannot fathom how that happens, but I do know this. I don't need to. I don't have to be a detective. I know that's the head coach's responsibility to get them to play, and they're not.
You think they're going to finish over 500 this year after that effort? Now knowing that that's in them.
Well, that effort was in them last year, and they did. So, can they? Yes. Do I think they will? I'm beginning to think no more and more every day. I'll tell you this. They lose this week. The answer is no.
Correct. See, to me, I would say this much. I agree with you that sometimes, you know, the inactive report tells you the story before the story is actually
you're just
written.
Like, well, they're in trouble here.
The Minnesota game would be somewhat of an example of that. However, I was stunned in that first half because they weren't picking on Smith. They were picking on Vernon Hargraves.
And how
wide open everything was and how many throws Case Keenum actually missed in the flow of that game. But when I saw the response against the Giants the next week, again, I know, you know, McAdoo gave up his play calling and all of a sudden against the Broncos.
Thankfully, he didn't do it the week before.
But, well, yeah. And even though they came back, and I'm mad about that game because it's a game you should put away and score into the 30s and situations we cost ourselves there. The effort from the defense, I said, okay, all right, there you are. Then you play the Patriots, right? And the Patriots game, to me, I thought, well, it's Tom Brady and it's that offense, you know. So if you're playing bend but don't break, it's no big deal. But I guess I just have to set the bar to assuming that we're going to be affording the other quarterback, be it a Case Keenum, a Derek Anderson from eons past, or be it Tom Brady. They're going to get three bills. They're going for 300. They're going for 350. The question is, and it's an old question from the Jeff Cameron Show lore, is can we stop them in the red zone and contain them to field goals on possessions? Because I'm not going to be surprised anymore this season with 75-yard drives, 80-yard drives, 90-yard drives. They happen all the time. It's no problem. Third and long, not a problem. Third and seven, offsides. Third and two. I mean, the effort and the mental focus in this game were both completely non-existent in the first half of this defense. Moreover, as Dirk Koetter said in his press conference on Monday, we didn't even want a run block. They didn't even want a run block for Doug Martin. Martin looked average, but you know why? He couldn't get to the line of scrimmage without contact.
Well, so we're obviously doling out complaints and problems and observations from a blowout, basically a blowout loss against a team that really hadn't shown that much of a pulse prior to stepping on the field against Tampa Bay.
They barely beat Indianapolis and San Francisco.
Right. Now, I'll grant you, they did get, in the last 2 weeks, three offensive linemen back that were designated as starters prior to the year. So they've had some injury problems up front. So I think it was in concert with getting those guys back, adding an angry and desperate Adrian Peterson, and a Buccaneers defense that was indifferent about tackling Adrian Peterson. It all added up to a nightmare. But here's the thing. The Buffalo Bills are 30 out of 32 teams in passing yards this year. They don't throw the forward pass all that well, Tom. If the Bucs defense gives up a ton of passing yards in this game, they're giving up, by the way, Tampa Bay's giving up over 300 yards a game passing.
Well, there you go. Feels that way.
Well, that's accurate. They are.
I saw Ira from Joe Bucks Fan tweeted out earlier that they were giving up on defense an average of over 400 yards a game, be the worst in franchise history. Think about that for a minute with the Lovie Smith years, Raheem, Shiano, you name it. Mm. Even the times before Tony Dungy. You're telling me that we'll set franchise records?
There were some teams that didn't win a game.
F&A, man.
I mean, that is unimaginable.
That Mike Smith says in his press conference this week that we didn't want to put our pads on the running back. I mean, for a coach to say that.
Well, when a coach says that, I mean, it's the greatest insult that a coach can give to his team, to his collective unit there on defense. Because defense is about will and about toughness and about want to. Obviously, schemes involved, and you gotta know what you're doing. These guys are pros. Mike Smith has proven he can be a good defensive coordinator in this league. It's not scheme. They didn't care to be there. Vernon Hargraves has no confidence. You'll hear me. This is going to be a reoccurring theme on this particular edition of the Scuttlebucks. So if you're a family member of Vernon Hargraves, you may want to turn this off now. But, you know, obviously he is a mess. And you can't afford to continue to put him on the field. And, I'm a humanist at heart. I love people. I kind of feel bad for Vernon because I do think something's going on upstairs. But this is a heartless game in the sense that it's about business. Either you get the job done or you don't. And it's really not about what you're dealing with at home or what you're dealing with it from a confidence standpoint. I don't care. Either you make plays, you don't make plays. He can't make plays. He's 20 yards off the ball. He doesn't believe he can make plays. You got to get him off the field.
Yeah, it's the Nat Geo channel, man. It's predator or prey.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians is saying, really? So you're just going to want to line him up?
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm going to throw it to Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm going to make sure Fitzgerald lines up on Hargraves, and here we go. And even if it's not Fitzgerald, whoever's lined up
over
there,
it's going to have a good day.
It could be me. Yeah. If it's me, yeah. I'm going to call the throw to me. We're not even going with progressions here.
No.
It's a one crazy progression.
It was crazy.
Where's 28? That's your one. There's not a two.
And I couldn't believe that. Tom, you're not exaggerating. It was that simple on the first three drives. It was literally that simple. They didn't have to do anything that you don't teach in Pee Wee or Pop Warner football. Straight ahead. I couldn't. I mean, just here's some.
I heard the subtext. We didn't dump that, but I know what you're about to say.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you want to test somebody's manhood. Run the ball up the middle between the tackles and throw off a play action. If they don't care to be there, that's all you need.
With extra time to prepare. That's the other thing here,
Something's wrong on those practice fields. We're going to have Lee DeKemper on. I'm going to ask him about it. I know you've been wanting to. You're going to ask him something similar, I think. We got to get to the bottom of this. They didn't care to play football, folks. That is as damning a statement as you can make about a team. They're paid to play football. It's what they do.
Yeah, the thing. Okay, so Monday's press conference, too. This is one of those times. You know, it's funny. When you're winning, you kind of hear what the coaches and players have to say, but you don't really focus hard on what they have to say because, hey, everything's fine. Yeah, we're winning. Games. What the hell? Yeah. You know, all right, everybody's happy.
Now you want answers.
Well, I listen to every word, every syllable, every tone of every syllable because I want to know. I want to know. And sometimes even the facial expressions of a coach can tell you a little bit more.
Oh, it tells you a lot, depending on the coach.
So as Cutter's getting peppered with questions on Monday about the debacle, and one reporter asked him, you know, could you sense, was there something, you know, when you got off the plane that you could sense something like this was coming? And he said, it's in my gut. He says, but that's a gut feeling. You don't always get those right. You know, it's just something felt like that. And I did talk to the guys, if I feel that way, then I address the team. So he's kind of, sort of, maybe telling you that he had to address the team because he didn't feel like they were prepared to play the game this past weekend. And to me, that's on the guy in the mirror, head coach Dirk Cutter. That's on the guy in the mirror. Well, because how many times do we see on HBO? And listen, HBO is what it is. And I thought that was actually a pretty positive spin on the Buccaneers franchise and organization for 4 or 5 weeks.
I thought so too.
But how many times, once an episode, did it show coach stopping practice saying, guys, this isn't enough?
Yeah, he was questioning an awful lot about practice effort.
Well, if you have to question effort consistently, and then after week one against the Bears, you have players talking about, well, it wasn't a great week of practice, so positive reinforcement for a bad week of practice is a 29-7 win or whatever the final score of that game was. Man, I'm just telling you, there's a culture problem when it comes to how hard we focus during the week. And I don't know how you change that in the middle of the season, except to start, I don't know, benching players, and the reserves are worse. It's the NFL. But there has to be some sort of message sent that the work between Monday and Friday is garbage and it's got to change fundamentally.
Well, and my problem is that, again, comes from a coach who sung the praises of the talent level of this football team and who talked about what they were in position to do. In terms of, you know, taking this place somewhere it hasn't been in a long time, he's obviously referring to the playoffs. He's talked about the kind of talent he has, which is playoff talent. You know, you don't say that about a team that you know is 2-14 talent wise. Like you know these guys have been around the league a long time. You look out there, you go, ooh, you're a tough year. You know, I mean, San Francisco had no illusions about what this year was going to be. But that's not the Bucs. The Bucs have talent all over that field.
Yeah, we do.
And so this is real. Now I know some of it's been hurt, and I don't know if they're just not in concert with one another because guys have taken turns missing time, and some have missed most of the season so far. Key guys like Quan, you know, you want them out there. Obviously, they're not only very talented players, not only physically gifted players, but he plays with some want to. I think Quan being out has really killed this team to some extent beyond what we thought would be reasonable, and that is that guy's got a heart. He cares. He plays with deep, almost too much passion sometimes. You know what? That kind of emotion rubs off, man. They're missing it right now. Terribly.
Well, they're missing a lot of things. I mean, think about it. Gerald McCoy is a really good player. Brent Grimes is a really good player. Quan, David Beckwith, who's, you know, I don't know if I want to say he's an all-pro or
not
a
yet,
pro bowler.
But he's obviously.
But he's better than average, and he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Evans, they really like.
I do, too.
He's spotty, but it's an upgrade, you know, for the safety core. And then they get TJ Ward, good player. I mean, you think about that. Most NFL defenses, you're like superstar, average. The other nine, you're like, give or take.
No, they've got like five or six legitimate plus players
right.
on that side of the ball. One all-world player.
Of course, the pass rush sucks, and that's our glowing weakness on defense.
And we knew that it would be.
Outside of corner two.
If you wanted to say, right, well, we didn't know Vernon was going to be the worst corner in the league, which he is. If you had told me going into the year that the Bucs defense will not reach its full potential despite all of those stars because a glaring weakness is that they can't get pressure on the quarterback, and given that this league is what it is, quarterbacks make those throws. If they have time, they make those throws, and you're going to get beat when you can't get off the field on third down because guys are able to continue to move the chains, I would have said all right. But that's not what this was. This was not about them not being able to get pressure on the passer. This loss in particular was not that. They still can't, and it is a problem, but this wasn't that.
NFL quarterbacks make throws into football-sized windows. They don't need the windows the size of the side of the Bucs practice field.
According to Vernon, they need as much space as humanly possible on a football field for, to play pitch and catch.
It's just that's all mental. I think there is absolute truth, and I'll get off of it because, I've been holding out hope that Vernon would turn it around because of his physicality, and I thought that would be something that would...
You can't tell. I've washed my hands. We're done here.
I thought he had enough physicality in his game to make up for the lack of speed. You know what? I'm off of it. If he makes a turnaround, that's wonderful.
He can do it somewhere else.
I'm not expecting it. I'm just not expecting it. But the crazy thing to me is we're nearly 17 minutes into our podcast here, and we haven't talked about the quarterback's hurt. That's how bad the defense played.
That's a good point. That's how bad
the effort was. The starting quarterback, the franchise quarterback, is hurt, and we haven't said word one about it. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I'm just picturing the guy, the typical, the stereotypical, but rather, ubiquitous football fan that always believes his backup is better than the starter, and that is rarely, if ever, true. And in this case, it couldn't be less true. But they see Arizona play prevent up 30 and Fitz puts up some numbers and they, maybe he'll play. No, get the hell out of here. Stop it. But that said, Jameis doesn't need to be out there if his shoulder's anywhere close to being, long term, if there's a chance he could hurt that shoulder worse than it currently is, then you're going to have to hold him out and try to go win a game with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And so I will say this about Fitzpatrick. I think he's a capable backup. If you start him in a game or two, you could win.
Yeah, you could win a game with him.
Yeah.
And he could be a reason that you win for a game or
two. A game or two, especially against bad teams. Sure, he ain't beating good teams. But all right, I'll give you that. Against average to bad teams, Fitz could get you a win. He has in his career. That's why he's a quality backup. He's not a starting quarterback in this league, and that's fine. He doesn't need to be. That's not what he was brought in for. But I would start him this week if Jameis's shoulder has any chance of being hurt worse than it currently is.
And here's another issue I have. Here's where Dirk isn't as reliable as our friends at fanretreat.com. And there's
nice
a few reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, situational management. I'm done. He's not good at it. He sucks at it. He needs to hire somebody that just dictates.
I'm going to let you do this because there's 10 of these. If you want to name five or four, whether it's not kicking a field goal or one of the times that he's going for two and not understanding time and score.
Yes. Well, there was the New England example, right, about kicking it deep and watching the flow of that game. Again, if it's 41-39, I got you, man. You know what? You're going to have to onside and take your chances. But that game was low scoring and it was ugly. It was a Thursday night game after a Sunday, a short week. That's exactly what that game was.
Which gave you a long week to get to this game.
Right, which we weren't prepared for at all. So that's probably the biggest gripe. But
go ahead.
Even after the game is over, and it's 24-0, I hate it for you that we're inside the 5-yard line and we don't score on third and goal. Kick the freaking field goal.
Yeah, make it a 3-score game. Make it a 3-touchdown game.
There are plenty of possessions.
Yeah.
It's already a pipe dream anyway, but there are enough possessions. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You don't have to force yourself to go for 8 each time you score a touchdown.
Dumb.
Then we have a couple of possessions to go. You score, you're down 12. You kick the extra point.
2-possession game. You score and get 2-point conversion and kick a field goal, that's 11. Dirk, why would you not make it a 2-possession game?
What point is it to make that game 10 in that moment?
No sense.
All you do is destroy morale because a touchdown and a field goal is way more doable, and the momentum of the game pressure is affected by a touchdown and a field goal so much more than it's by 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns, the game is over, and the game was already over anyway, but it... If you do that in those moments, what are you going to do in the moments that we care about?
No, he gets situations wrong a lot.
And the final thing I'll say is he put pressure on his quarterback to play this week by saying he'll be medically cleared on Sunday. So if Jameis doesn't play, he went back about two questions later and said, well, the long-term health of the quarterback is the most important thing.
Yep.
But if you're going to go on record and say that the quarterback is medically cleared and he doesn't play,
so,
you're setting him up to be perceived as soft.
Which we all know, he's never missed an NFL game.
And last year when we were in Arizona, you said, I'm not taking him out of the game because Jameis is tough and he's a winner.
Yeah,
and so, that's why I'm leaving him in the game when we're down 30 points. Remember that?
Yeah, which was crazy. Really quickly, now, you know, I've said my piece about Dirk Koetter. My question to you then is this, and I would say this to anybody. Do you believe that was intentional? Do you believe him saying that he'll be medically cleared on Sunday was an effort to put pressure on Jameis to play or to make him look bad?
I believe it was out of weakness. Here's why.
Anger. I believe it was out of anger.
You think it was out of anger?
Yeah.
At Jameis for not playing?
I have no idea.
Well, Jameis is warming up in the third quarter. What was that about, too?
Well, I'm sure Jameis wants to go back out there because he's tough. He's right. Dirk, you got it right last year. He's really tough. That dude's played on broken ankles. Stop it. So here's what I'm saying. He either did that with malice or he's too dumb to realize that what you just said is going to allow for people to perceive and write about, more importantly, your quarterback making a decision not to play in a game that he's cleared to play in?
Okay, one potential theory would be that he doesn't believe that Jameis wanted to gut it out on Sunday.
Oh, no. He couldn't
drive the ball down the field. Like, Dirk didn't believe that. That's one theory. I'm trying to explain it. I'm telling you what I believe.
The first option you're giving me is sounding more nefarious than the one that I proposed.
That's the second option. The first one I gave you was the weakness thing. It's a moment of weakness, and here's why. Because he was peppered with 5 to 7 questions about Jameis' health before that. It's the first question he got on Monday.
So he's tired of the questions.
He's tired of the questions, and I think finally he capitulates and gives a quote that he didn't mean to give, and it's an oblique moment, but it's just another sign of, come on, man.
Keep it together, dude.
Mental strength.
I've never thought he was dumb. That's a dumb thing to say.
He goes back and answers later. Listen, the long-term health of the quarterback of Jameis
because
is the
his
most
inner voice
thing.
Told him, my man.
Right.
Rolled your quarterback.
He'll be medically cleared to play.
You don't.
What evidence do you have in the history of this kid's career that he doesn't want to play football at all costs?
Oh, my God. The opposite's true. The opposite has always been true. Sometimes he wants to play too much. He can't calm himself down.
Correct.
He cares so much about the damn game.
Which he needs some weed pregame or something.
Well, the point is there's no way he believes that. I don't think Dirk Koetter believes that Jameis is lacking, I don't know, toughness, motivation. I don't believe that. I can't believe that. If I believed it, I'd want him fired today. Not at the end of the year, now. You fire him right now. Dirk Koetter is a run-of-the-mill coach. There are tons of coaches better than Dirk Koetter. You've got a franchise quarterback. They don't grow on trees. So if he believes that, he can get the hell up out of here. That's crazy person talk.
Which is why I had a laundry list of things that, you know, were displeasing about this last week.
All right. So,
many things displeasing.
So let's just get on the record that I don't think he thinks that.
I don't think so either.
Because
if he
does, then we're in deep,
and again,
in
when
deep
I was
trouble.
Explaining to you, I'd already said the moment of weakness thing. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to paint Dirk as this bad guy. But what I am saying is that it's either dumb, grossly negligent, or there's maliciousness intended there. And I don't think there's malice there.
Maybe he's just worn out. He's worn out because his team doesn't practice well. And they certainly don't show up week in and week out ready to play football, which, again, falls at his feet.
It's not over yet. It's not over.
No, you got to go
win
this weekend. You got to go win this weekend.
You got to get real desperate real quick. And you have the talent to go and do it. What the hell is wrong with you?
That egg laid in this game is, if you can't tell, has lit a match. I mean, we're all very angry about this. It's football. It's football. But, you know, if you guys are new to this podcast, go back and listen to the other ones. This is not us every week pounding the table, threatening people's jobs and all that. No, but that effort was so damn sorry.
In the 8 years of you and I knowing each other, I'm never this way about the Bucks. Ever. Because there's no expectations. But you know what? With expectations comes a short freaking leash.
And this is egregious. This isn't even us looking for something where there isn't something. No, this is egregious. Lita Kipper will join us next. Stay tuned. Scuttlebucks. Now when it came to the people with their own philosophies, they change the course of history. Everyday people like you and me. When I'm in that case, we're the people with our own philosophies. We change the course of history. Everyday people like you and me. Come on.
Engaging the Bay, one topic at a time. The Scuttlebucks return now on JoeBucksFan.com.
Scuttlebucks, and as always, during the Scuttlebucks, we bring in our good friend, Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com. You know the website well, and he's a smart man. I mean, he approached us about the Scuttlebucks, so just shows you the keen insight of one Lita Kemper. Hey, Lee, how are you, buddy?
So I should be a talent agent, is what you're saying.
Well, all right, so we got lots to catch up on. That was a embarrassing performance, and I know what the final score was, but that game was never really in doubt. Arizona basically blew the Bucks out, even though the score didn't indicate that. And I don't know how you step on the field and look like that. Collectively, I don't know how you have extra rest, you make that trip, and you look like that. I mean, what the hell? What did Mike Smith, what did Dirk Cutter, what are we hearing these days?
Well, first off, I don't think I have to describe it any further. It was a complete and total breakdown on all levels, from Mike Smith all the way down to the Tall Boys to the Charles Haley of our day, Will Clark. No, not the 53-year-old ex-first baseman all-star.
Yeah.
Who could probably get as much pressure on a quarterback as any of these scrubs the Bucks have at 53 years old.
Wow.
Okay? I don't know how you explain that, because I wrote a story this morning on JoeBucksFan.com, this morning being Wednesday morning. I wrote a story where Raheem Morris had some just horrible beatdowns, and the one that really springs to mind was a Steelers game at home where Charlie Batch, of all people, ran 38 points on him.
Yeah.
So I quickly searched, just some real quick research, and that defense was led by the likes of Styles White, Quincy Black, and E.J. Biggers, whereas to this year's Bucks, they have Pro Bowl players at every level of the defense. They have a couple of guys on defense that have Super Bowl rings. They have another guy on defense that played in the Super Bowl. It is beyond explanation how they could be. I mean, I could sort of see that if it was the Falcons or the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. I could sort of see that. But we're talking about a couple of nursing home guys, Adrian Peterson, Carson Palmer. Guys have one step out the door as far as retirement goes, and they just absolutely boat race the Bucks. The Steelers game I referenced, Raheem, they actually had a three-and-out stop against the Steelers. And that was the Steelers game that went to the Super Bowl. We all know the first three possessions Cardinals had right down the field, boom, like they weren't even playing defense, like they weren't even trying. And Mike Smith today all but said they were scared to tackle. He didn't say that. He came one step away, and you could tell Mike Smith is absolutely frustrated with Vernon Hargraves. He was getting a lot of Hargraves questions. Mike Smith's a great guy. He's a wonderful dude. He has a very business-like demeanor to him, always like putting a happy face on things. Smith three times dropped the word friggin', which we all know what that stands for. That's how upset and frustrated he's getting with Vernon Hargraves. And I asked him, I said, how much more rope are you going to give Hargraves if you hope to make a playoff run if he continues his recent games? And by the way, his recent games, I don't know if anybody puts any stock in the Pro Football Focus. I'm kind of dubious of them. But these self-professed sophists claim that Hargraves, every time he's been targeted the last two games, he's given up a reception. That flatly is unacceptable on any level of football.
Well, the fact that it, without even double-checking the accuracy of that, but the fact that it feels very believable is a little frightening, right? I mean, I don't hear that stat and go, oh, come on. I hear that stat and go, yeah, that seems about right. I think that's probably true, you know? I mean, that's crazy. Well, let me ask you this. Was it T.J. Ward that claimed he thought guys treated this game like a vacation? Who said that?
Yes, that guy was a ring.
But what in the world? How are you two and two? I don't understand. What?
Well, to make it more frustrating for you and make it more confusing, mind you, last year, the Bucks started out the season, beat the Falcons on the road, and DeMar Dotson, on the record, to Steve Isbeth, my business partner, Steve Isbeth, he told Steve Isbeth after the beatdown last year at Arizona, which was the second game of the year, he said, we have so many young guys on this team, they thought they had this game won because they beat the Falcons. Now, given that fact, and Dotson said that on the record, and he still talks about it. If you ask him about it, he'll still talk about it. Given that fact, you would think these guys would be overly focused trying to stop the Cardinals. Yet it was worse than last year. With 9 days to prepare.
Well, also, Lee, I mean, it's the National Football League. I mean, look around.
Yes.
Every week. Yes. We had four double-digit dogs last week, and three of them won the game. Not the spread. They won the game outright.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jets, if not for a bad call, probably beat New England. I mean, there's a lot of – you look around the league. What world would the Buccaneers, who've accomplished nothing, think that they have a game won?
And that was last year. That's not even this year. That was last year. And you would think they'd learn their lesson, but apparently not. Now, I thought of this morning. I haven't spoken with anybody about it. Haven't talked to anybody about it. This is one of those subjects that you're never going to get an answer on the record, and it's almost like asking the question. You're almost begging to get thrown out of a press conference or thrown out of a locker room, but you almost wonder if they've tuned out Mike Smith. You almost wonder.
Well, hey, listen, so while the game was going on, my cohort over here, Tom and I, and then, you know, I texted with you too. This is the kind of game we both talked about it. Anyhow, I won't put words in your mouth, but this is the kind of game Tom and I were saying that coaches get fired over. I mean, when you see the lack of effort, the going through the motions, it's not like Arizona didn't come out and do something completely different than they've been doing. This was as simple as football can be. They ran the ball up your ass. And they threw off a play action. That's what they did. There was nothing. Larry Fitzgerald's been in the league a while. Everybody knows who he is. Here comes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so
and Cutter admitted that. Cutter admitted that.
I mean, I don't really know. That's an unacceptable result. It's an unacceptable start to a game. It's an unacceptable mindset. It's an unacceptable, to me, attitude to have. I can't fathom that those guys didn't have more want to. It's a chance to go over 500, to set yourself in a good position, getting ready to take on the Bills, who are imminently beatable, and this could be the beginning of a good run, and you get pasted.
Pasted. Absolutely pasted. Well, I'll tell you something, and by the way, I love Dirk Cutter's candor. I get along with him really well, and I love his candor, love his openness, love his directness. But he didn't do himself any favors when he said, because we're a bad football team right now. And I don't think anybody's questioning that after the Arizona loss. However, you rewind the tape 3 months ago, the opening sequence to the first episode of Hard Knocks, he stands before his team and says, we have way more talent than the Bucs have had in years. Tons of talent. Quote, unquote, tons of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Advance that tape 3 months, we're a bad football team. Uh-oh.
Well, I already did last week, and I'll do it again, if I can, with even larger eye emojis. But the two fingers to my eyes, two fingers back to you, Dirk, which started for me last year and entered into this season with him on, in my mind, and I don't make decisions for the Bucs, so people could take it or leave it and whatever. I already looked at him as suspect for a variety of reasons and some decisions that he made a year ago. This isn't helping his cause in my mind with Bucs fans by and large. That's not a good look. And I don't know how your team, ultimately we can yell at Mike Smith and we can say Vernon Hargreaves isn't any good because he's not. But, you know, Dirk Cutter's the head coach. How did his team go out there looking like that? They're not playing for him. I mean, they went through the motions. So
apparently, yeah.
I would be desperate if I were him. I mean, this would be a desperate week.
I think he understands that. You know, because like you said, at the end of the day, Buck stops at his desk. He's responsible for making sure these guys are coached up. That doesn't mean he's supposed to coach up Vernon Hargreaves, but he's supposed to acquire the coaches who have the knowledge and the ability to coach up this player.
Well, and I think, too, if you're a head coach, there are times where, you know, your players have to want to lay it on the line for you. I mean, you don't have to be rah-rah all the time. You can be frank and to the point, and you can be analytical, and that's fine, too. But there is a time where you have to be able to elicit not only fine execution, but an emotional response. It's still a violent game. It's still a game played with emotion and energy and want to. A lot of tackling is wanting to tackle. A lot of playing defense is wanting to put your head in there. Our run fits were embarrassing. There were a lot of things in this game that just defy logic to me for a 2-2 team. Now, I know Jameis got hurt, and by the way, that'll be the final thing. Let me ask you about that. What do you think as we sit here on a Wednesday? People know we do this podcast on a Wednesday. What do you think that's going to look like? Is Jameis going to play this week or not?
I get the impression just from the field, just from talking to people, just from talking to a couple players, I get the impression it's probably going to be Fitzpatrick.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about the franchise's arm, the franchise's shoulder. If he can go, I think they'll give it a try. But if it's even borderline, I think they're going to take the safe route and shut him down for at least the Buffalo game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the big picture, that's a smart thing to do.
It is.
But in a short term, that's a hell of a roll of the dice.
Well, actually, before I let you go, Tom wants to chime in here, and he wants to ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
All right, Lee, real quick question for you. You know, either HBO or coaches or players have talked about it a bunch in the preseason. I can remember it through week one after the win over the Bears. I forget which player it was. They lamented a lack of good practices, a lack of effort in practice. You know, Dirk in HBO, it seemed every episode he had to stop practice at least once and say, guys, this isn't enough. We're not doing enough. We're not giving enough effort. Does it strike you, you know, covering the preseason all the way to now, that practicing is a problem and performance in practice is a problem? Or is it about the same as it has been for the other coaches in the last, I don't know, decade?
No, that's the issue that I brought up. It wasn't the focus of a story, but I wrote a story Monday about what's wrong with this team. And part of it, like I said, wasn't the focus of the story, but an element of the story was there were signs before that this team had some issues. And we all chose to ignore it. Me being as guilty as anyone, we chose to ignore it because, it's preseason. It's training camp. But how many times did Cutter, after practice, not even HBO, just a regular practice, Cutter grumbled about, oh, it was a bad practice, almost every other day. And so you're on to something, Tom. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I chose to ignore that, thinking, it's just practice. The offense struggled throughout preseason. It's just preseason. Well, it's a pattern. And that's another thing. You know, Jeff and I were talking about Cutter. That's another thing that doesn't look good for Cutter.
No, that's all on Cutter. If you recognize that there's a problem with effort in practice, you're the head coach.
Yep.
I mean, what are we doing? Yep. They don't want to play for him. This is bizarre. They are in a very tenuous situation. They got
to
go.
I hate to say this because I like the guy a whole lot.
Oh, sure, but you know.
What the easiest move is, and I hate to say it because I like him. I think he's done overall a good job. Yeah, sure, he's making mistakes, but you're going to make mistakes in this position. Jason Light doesn't have a contract for next year.
Well,
there's your fall guy.
Yeah, but that... All right, well...
And I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's the easiest move to make because, look, the Glazers, they're businessmen. At the end of the day, they're businessmen. They just signed Mike Smith to a pretty hefty contract.
Well, and Mike Smith has proven that he can coach defense in this league.
Yes,
and he's doing
a good job with linebackers.
Right.
That isn't fair.
Well, no,
he's doing a hell of a job with linebackers.
You just got to get Hargraves off the field. Just get him off the field. That's going
to
help an awful lot. I'm serious about
and
that. Get him
point,
off the field.
To your point, you're talking about coaches. You know, they got to do something, whether it be throw a water bottle, whatever. You know what? Bench Hargraves. There's your sign. There's your signal, guys. You don't play, there's the bench.
Well, you got to earn it. You got to earn playing time.
You're not comfortable playing tight against the wide receiver, we'll get comfortable on the bench then.
Hey, thank you. By the way, how soon till Ryan Griffin gets back? Because if
end of the month.
All right. Because I liked what I saw briefly with him, and who knows? I mean, it's preseason. But I will say this. Fitzpatrick, whatever. I mean, if Jameis is going to be out for any length of time, get this kid some reps.
I put no stock in what Fitzpatrick did against the Cardinals.
Because
they're playing prevent defense at the time.
Well, and that, you know, this is the easiest thing for the idiot fan to do, which is always love the backup, think that the backup is the answer. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been in the league forever. There's a reason he's a backup, and nobody wants him. He's not any good.
Yep.
All right, be well, sir. Good talking to you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, take care. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. No, I mean, Fitz is, you know, he's making a killing. He's doing well for himself. Good on you. I mean, to come out of Harvard and have an NFL career of any kind is really, really admirable. I mean, that's fine. But he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, that's poppy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna say. I mean, we don't
need the explicit tag.
I've already gotten emotional enough. So, yeah. Our thanks to Lee DeKemper. We'll come back. Wrap it up momentarily.
Avast ye scuttlebucks.
Just another reminder that Scuttlebucks is presented by Fan Retreat. Good friends over there at Fan Retreat. They do a good job. FanRetreat.com. It's a Florida company. One-stop shop. Get your tickets and your travel. Be on your way. And you can use Fan Retreat to buy Bucks tickets, whatever game you want to go to. It's like SeatGeek and Expedia combined into one travel and tickets website. So it's just more convenient. And they're the lowest price tickets. You can check FanRetreat.com compared to, say, SeatGeek or StubHub, and you'll find 95% of the FanRetreat.com tickets are cheaper. Local company, less overhead. So that's how that works.
I think the cool thing is there's more bells and whistles coming, too, about fan interactions and making sure that, let's say you're going up to Philadelphia for a game, not this season, but hostile environment, maybe Oakland one year. Yeah, you won't be sitting alone. I think that's a great idea. People can tag where they're going to sit, so you can, you know, if you're a stick carrier, if you're one of those bucks, then you all sit together.
Yeah, good times. So use it. Fan Retreat. All right, well, I guess at the end of the show, I'll just ask you where your confidence meter is. We have a confidence meter on the Jeff Cameron Show that we have fun with, and it's got a sounder and everything.
The daily confidence level.
Well, yeah, level, not meter. We'll use meter for Scuttlebucks. So
he's the metric system.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. Mine is nil. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose convincingly again. And I think this season is on the verge of a spiral. Vernon Hargrave just sucks. We need to stop talking about, well, we can win with him. No, he's terrible. He's always terrible on every play. So I don't know that that's going to change. That was as poorly coached a team as you'll see last weekend. It's embarrassing. I would think that Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter are looking in the mirror right now. How they had a team make that flight and step on the field that ill-prepared is beyond me. It's what we said in the opener here. So I don't know why. I mean, you're 31st in pass defense. So it doesn't really seem to matter whether you're facing a backup quarterback, a bona fide star, a journeyman, a 50-year-old. I mean, they all have success throwing the ball in the box.
Yeah, to me, it's a week-to-week league, so there's a way to win game.
And the Bills aren't like...
Correct. They're not world beaters, but it's an important game to them, too, because the Bills are trying to stay in the race in the AFC East, which is suddenly competitive top to bottom. So, to me, it's a pride game. I don't know that pride can impact a pass rush and make the pass rush better, because the pass rush will make the secondary better, by definition. But Hargraves, he shares something in common with you and I. And here's what Hargraves shares. He's scared that he's going to get beat. And I agree. I'm scared he's going to get beat on every play. The problem is it's impacting the way he plays the game. There's, all 22. We have the NFL game there. But there's an all 22 play where he's playing 10 yards off. And it's a 20-yard in. And he's still backing off at the time the ball's being thrown. He's just so afraid of getting up anywhere close to the line of scrimmage.
Get him off the field. It's embarrassing. He can't cover anybody in this league.
Right.
So, I mean, we're just
He chooses not to. Even if he could, he chooses not to because he's afraid with the cushion. So, I guess that means that in his own mind, he knows what happens if he gets anywhere close to the line and he's going one-on-one with an NFL receiver.
And here's the thing. Because you guys are, you know, this is a new podcast. We haven't been around long, so you don't know our backgrounds per se. And so you might think, boy, that's awfully harsh. Both Tom and myself wanted the Bucks to draft Vernon Hargrave.
This is true.
I thought he was very physical while at Florida. Obviously, he was much better covering college receivers than he is pro receivers, and that's always a risk, especially he's not a big guy. But I thought his physicality would make up for that. I thought his instincts would make up for that. I thought, you know, he certainly had a kind of a, it sounds odd to say, but a football player's mentality that I really liked. He's physical. He's still physical in the run game occasionally. But, you know, you're a corner. I need you to cover somebody. I have plenty of linebackers.
He also blew contain on one of the runs, too, this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's his confidence has to be shot. I know that Dirk Cutter says he doesn't think that's the concern, but he did go on to say, I'm not 100% sure about that, which tells me he is concerned about it. And, you know, he was asked a question during the press conference, I think it was Monday, are you concerned with his play? Because it's the words got out. Everybody can see that the Bucks Vernon Hargraves gets picked on. Because you're not going to pick on Brent Grimes because he's good.
You know, he's the most targeted player last year, too.
Yeah, so we're getting to a place now where, you know, the eye in the sky, it doesn't lie, and feelings be damned. I'm looking at the film, and I'm saying, you are garbage I'm going to throw the ball at you every play. And they do every week. And we make average-ass quarterbacks look really good.
The one thing I'd like to see, you know, I don't know that it's possible anymore. Maybe not in Tampa. Maybe not at that position. Maybe slot corner. I don't know at this point. But I'd like to see the guy play with a little bit of confidence. It's just beyond the point of a lack of confidence. Now he's in a shell. I mean, it's PTSD every week with that dude. That's the only explanation. Because there's talent in there, man. I mean, like, there is.
Yeah, not immense, though. Not immense NFL talent. I think we've learned that his lack of speed does hurt him quite a bit. And he can't be as physical.
Well, it affects him up top.
Right. And he's not going to get faster. And the other problem is what he could do in bullying receivers in college. This happens sometimes, and this is the thing you can't know. I mean, it's safe to assume that obviously you're going to be going against a higher quality player at the NFL level, and therefore your dominance that you showed in college may not exist at the next level. But this is beyond that, right? It's not that he's not dominant. It's not that we're sitting here saying, oh, well, you know, he doesn't live up to where he was drafted, the round and the pick that he was drafted in. No, he's garbage. It's not that he's just a disappointing first round. He's garbage. He'd be bad if you had picked him in any round. If you had taken him in the sixth round, you'd be going, well, he's just not living up to that sixth round billing. I mean, that's how bad he's played.
Well, and the problem is football is the ultimate complimentary sport, right? So the problem with the pass rush and not having a sack from your defensive ends since week one, the strip sack by Noah Spence, haven't had a sack from your defensive ends since week one.
Since I was a child.
Only affords quarterbacks more opportunities to pick on the damn guy.
Yeah.
And you know what happens?
Sometimes we call Simeon Rice? Is he doing anything?
Well, I think he'd be better.
I think you might be right. Let's call Simeon. We got to get somebody out here rushing the passer. Good Lord. It has been a long time. But, you know, Brent Grimes is 52 years old out there covering people
all day long. Yes, sir.
But he's not lacking confidence. And they got all day to throw his way, too. But they don't.
Simeon Rice and Julius Peppers are peers, aren't they not? I mean, Peppers is still playing.
Can we go get somebody? Damn it. It's maddening. I'm done trying to be nice about it with Vernon. Every week I keep thinking, oh, maybe he'll play better. No, he's not going to play better. He's not any good. We're just done. Sucks. I hate that we wasted that pick. I would have missed it. But sometimes that happens. I'm not saying Jason Light has to go or anything like that. He's hit more than he's missed. And sometimes it is a crapshoot. Sometimes you know, you're fooled. It happens. But
maybe Beckwith can play out there, you know?
Well, surely you got a corner on the roster that can't be any worse than Vernon Hargraves, right? I mean, you have to, by definition.
Maybe we can play some Tampa 2, and then he's your slot corner. He's your Rondé Barber.
Oh, good Lord.
Rondé was better at man coverage than Vernon, wasn't he?
I don't know. He was never a good man corner. Yeah, he was great as a hybrid player, and he was great.
He's better in zone coverage, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, well, that's for sure. He was a beast in zone coverage. He was a good player, really, like all-time franchise great player.
Oh, yeah. He belongs in the Ring of Honor, absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's a beast. But so I'm not ripping him when I say, you know, he wasn't good as a man-to-man corner. He wasn't, but he didn't need to be. That's not what we asked him really to do. Anybody in the league right now that starts a cornerback is better than Vernon Hargraves, and that's a hard thing to have to say. It's very frustrating. When you watch those All-22s, when you go back and you watch what the coaches are seeing, they must be appalled. You don't have to have had an in-depth background in football to watch those All-22s and say, well, I don't think it's designed that way. I don't think you're supposed to give each player a 15-yard cushion.
Yeah, the death knell to me was 2 weeks ago when the media finally woke up and asked, you know.
Yeah, like, hey, what's going on with your corner?
With Hargraves there, is he taught to play that far off?
Yeah, people started asking, and then, why in the world is your guy out in the parking lot?
Hey, thanks. Yeah. You probably could have asked that after week two, but I'm glad we got that question in.
Second and seven, my man's in the end zone. What are we doing here? You may want to cover somebody here. Damn it. Hey, good work, Tom. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. We'll be back with you after the loss to the Bills.
Get a beer.
Maybe we won't lose to the Bills.
Hey, it's the NFL. But go get a beer anyway.
You're going to need to go 3-3 to have any shot of turning this around. That and bench Vernon Hargraves.
You're going to need to get a beer.
Be well.